Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
So in this short time we have with you, Christmas, I want to focus our attention in on just one thought and just one verse of the Word of God, which talks about why this all happens. Why these stories of Jesus are being told. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me to John chapter 20. I'm going to read it for you anyway, but it's a really good habit to have a Bible. If you have your Bible, just hold it up for me. Some of those phones. Not really phones. We were saying that the other day. They're really computers, aren't they, that happen to do phones. But okay, in John 20... And I'm going to read just the last two verses, 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John's at the end, to almost the end of the gospel. His perspective of Jesus is very personal. It's different to the other three. He has insights into who Jesus was that many people don't see, others don't show. But his summary is magnificent. These things are written. Why were these things written? Why? Why are these stories of Jesus told? You see, I'm deeply stirred by this because I see all the celebration in the church and out of the church. I see the mince pies. I like the mince pies. I see the Christmas trees. I went and got mine from our people up the road. And all the things that go with that. I love some of the words to some of those carols, which are wonderful. I love the one that you were singing today, Christabel, that said, "And the soul felt its worth." What a great message. The whole Christian church needs to hear that the soul felt its worth instead of I'm an evil sinner and all my desires are wrong and bad, and but if I grovel enough, please, dear God, maybe he'll forgive me. No. No, the soul has great worth to God. People have great worth to God, and we need a radical change in the way that we as Christians approach the world. There's a reason they don't like us. And it's because we're judgmental. It's because for some ridiculous reason, we've decided that they should live like Christians. I tell the truth, but they lie. Lost people are going to lie. Get over it. I'm kind. I don't cheat on my wife, and they cheat on your wife. That's what happens in the world. But if you keep trying to get them to behave the way a Christian should, when they're not yet a Christian, you're missing the whole boat. They don't need to be told how to live. They need to be told that their soul has great worth. They don't need a finger pointing at them saying, stop doing that, stop lying, stop cheating, stop, you know, scratching your knife down the side of the keys, down the side of somebody's car. Stop turning up late for work. Stop posting nasty things about other people. Stop, you know, that the Christian church, we should be exemplary in these matters. If you have been thinking about scratching a car with your pen, can I just advise you to let it go? It's not worth it. But see, we have this funny idea that you know, wouldn't the whole world, like we're going to be a Christian nation. What is that? A Christian nation. What is that? Were we ever a Christian nation? See, we have this idea, you know, England, well, let's return to our Christian roots. Yeah, I get all that. But the only thing that's Christian is when people put their trust in Jesus and are born again. And the more people you can get like that, the more Christian your nation is going to be. I just thought I'd just step on a few toes this morning. But we're going to believe for healing next week. So make sure, in fact, even after the service, we could pray for you. Listen to this very carefully. He's talking now. So that's how we approach the world. But listen to what he says. These things have all been written that you might believe. And I'm saying that to the church, to the Christians, that you might believe and that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you might have life. Everyone say life. Life. That Greek word is zoe there, and it means it's the life force. It's the life of God. It's a substance that you receive. If you could put on heavenly specs instead of 3D specs and look at people, you'd be able to see whether this substance called the life of God exists inside of them or not. And in the world today, in the vast majority of cases, it doesn't. In the church, in a church like this, most of the time it will. But it's not just a matter of being in the habit of being in a church. Jesus came, we tell this story, he was born in a trough, laid in this trough, you know, great marketing by God. Let's make it hard for people to believe here, shall we? You'd think if he was the king, he was going to come in. No, this guy couldn't even get squeezed into the local hotel. He was out in the cow shed, lying, we say manger, it's a feeding trough. You know, you ever seen a feeding trough, on pig feeding trough? Could have been pigs. Probably not in Israel, but you never know. Might have been very naughty people over there, you don't know. But the point is this, that all those things were written so that you would believe that he is the Christ. Everyone say believe. Believe is the most powerful force. There are two powerful forces above every other, believing and loving. They go hand in hand. Faith, believing, is what shifts things. It's what changes your life. And when I look at the Christian church, and I'm not thinking of you guys in particular, but I'm preaching to Christians. When I look at the Christian church, I have to be honest and say, for the most part, we don't have much of the life of God flowing in us. There are too few people walking around casting out demons. There are not enough people who walk down the street and their shadow falls on people and they get healed. There are not enough stories about how people faithfully tithed and brought that, and then God came through with a miraculous provision. There's not enough stories of people who have faced challenges in their life and yet have stood strong and true and happy and filled with joy in the midst of it. I love you. I want you to flourish in life. But the thing that will cause you to flourish is to believe. To believe that he is the Christ. Now, here's the thing that's important, and here's where much of the Western world struggles. To believe is not an intellectual thing. It's a heart thing. Every time Jesus talks about believing, so if you will believe and say to this mountain, be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says. The heart is not the head. The heart's your inward person. And nearly everybody in our Western world approaches all these things very academically and intellectually and tries to get all the facts. And that's not going to change you. It's when you believe with your heart. So it's not a matter of IQ, it's a matter of humility. You could have a very high IQ and have a shriveled up heart that doesn't believe nothing. And of course your IQ will be a blessing to humanity and you could do many good things and you're no less valuable to God than anybody else. We're not saying that. You're no more important to God either. But the point is that the whole object of what Jesus came to do was to get people to believe, to put their trust in him. That's what the word believe means. In my heart, I trust him. So somebody in my family has been diagnosed with cancer and they're close to me and we don't know what we're going to do. And Jesus would say to us, I told you these things to encourage you to believe. We live in a funny world where in the church world where we have these kind of two diverse extremes. And I'm trying to find the middle ground with us all. You have the intellectual extreme, which is a big head but a small heart. And it's full of rote and it's full of religiosity, and it's full of certain phraseology that we have to say, but it doesn't have any experience of God's power and God's life. And you can see, I'm not judging in the way that I'm putting anybody down, but you can see in the hearts and the lives of many people that would say they're Christian, that would adhere to that, or that would go to church, or would have raised that way, that there's little, if any, of the life of God flowing out of them. You almost have to convince people that God still does miracles. You know, there's a whole school of intellectual thought that's still trying to jam it up and find some way to explain how Jesus done the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. I mean, it's really hard to believe that when you read the Bible. But intellectually, we get into all very, oh, we'll find a little secret meaning here. When Jesus said pretty plainly, the same things I do, you're going to do. How does that work? But there are no miracles. I mean, it's irreconcilable. You see, so you have that world. But then on the other end, you have sometimes what I might call extreme faith, where people are in kind of denial of circumstances, and they're just, yes, we just believe God. Everything's falling apart. Yes, just believe God. But unless you have that life in you, then you're just as far from what Jesus was talking about as the guy at the other end. Believing in your heart and having life in his name. That's why he came. When we worship, Ned and I talk pretty much every week about what we're doing, why we're doing it. We have a team of guys here. I want to get them actually to speak to you during January because they've got good stuff in their heart, and we really want to thank them and honour them. In fact, I should like to do that right now, really. Caroline and Maisel here, and Lucille and Owen and the lady. Can you guys just stand up real quickly? These are our team. These are the guys that carry the brunt of everything we do. These are the guys that are under more pressure spiritually than you are. Because they're in a leadership role and they deserve our honour. Can we give them a round of applause and thank them? They've done please be seated. Thank you. They've done a wonderful job this year. It's been a remarkable year. But here's the thing. See, everything that works in your life to do with God is because you believe. And as soon as you stray from believing and trusting God, then things will work less. Now, God's very kind, so he'll try and make it work for you, even if you're not believing that much. You know what I mean? He's not like, there's the line. You know, 9 out of 10 ain't good enough. Sorry. He will lean over, because that's the grace of God. But the life that he came, we sing these songs, you know, oh, come, let us adore him. It's meaningless unless that life fills us. There's no point. You can have your gifts, you can have your trees, you can have your stars and your carols, but it's all about Jesus. And let us as the church never forget that. Now, I have a lot of fun, you can see that. You know, letting Paul Winder dress up and do announcements. I've got to have some kind of sense of humour in me there. He does a great job, doesn't he? Actually, we're really enjoying that. We really are. I believe. See, the church has got to have a lot of fun and be real, and it's also got to deal in a very honest way with these claims of Jesus. You don't need to be one or the other. Some churches are all about fun, and if Jesus gets a bit of a mention in there, then we've done well that week. Other churches are so dour and so Jesus that if you say the wrong thing. If you pray and don't say in Jesus' name, they're going to frown on you because you've broken some sacred law, apparently. No, it's to believe that he's the Christ. Your Bibles will say the Messiah for that verse, but the better word is Christ. The Greek word is cryo, that's where it comes from, and it literally means oiled, anointed. That's what it literally means. So when those people were looking, you see, when in Matthew 16, when Peter, they're having this little discussion in Matthew 16, verse about 16, and Jesus says to them, "Who do you guys say that I am?" Remember that? They say, well, some say you're this prophet and you're that prophet. And he's been with them a while. We're in Matthew 16. And he says, so who do you say that I am? And he's looking for something. He's waiting. He says, and Peter says it, he says, you're the Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the one with the oil of God. That's what he's saying, on him. He mightn't have been the tallest. He mightn't have been the best looking. He mightn't have ticked all the boxes you were looking for. There might be aspects of his life, like getting a whip out in the house of God and whipping things that you don't agree with. There might have been things like saying, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you've got no part in me, at which point many of his followers left him. Not everything Jesus says to you is going to make sense. Not everything Jesus does in your life is going to feel good. But he's either the Christ or he's not. And the church needs to be back in a place where he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, where every breath I have, every cell in my body would have no existence, no nothing without him. He wants you to look to him. I look at the people, I look at the church, I look at the world, you know, I get it. I get why the world would be in need, because they don't have Jesus living inside of them. And every one of them that I can help, I'll help. And we've been able to help a lot of people. But remember this, remember what Jesus said. He said, I didn't come, a person who's, a doctor only goes to the people who are sick. And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. In other words, if you think you're fine and everything's fine, he's not coming to call you. It's not until you get to a place where you think, actually, I need somebody other than myself. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried that, I need to. And then you turn to him, but then you not just turn, but then you recognize and you believe with your heart, he's the one. He's the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He's the complete expression of God. There's nothing about God that's not in him. There's nothing he says that is wrong or to be questioned. There's nothing he does that wasn't done with perfect love and perfect wisdom. And if we haven't quite figured it out yet, just put that aside and keep believing. Keep putting your trust in him. Some of us here, I can feel it. You know, my message was a little bit, I was just waiting to see where we'd go a bit. But I can feel it that some of us here in our building, and that it's how it is, have areas of need in their life. And if we're honest, we think, actually, if I'm really honest, it isn't working as well as I want it to work. What believing does is puts life in you, and that life sustains you in every adversity. Some adversities are not going to be avoided. People that you love are going to pass away. Dreams that you had, some of them, aims and intentions that some of you had, are not going to happen. Not because you're bad, but just because what God has for you might be a little different to what you have for you. And when the heart comes to God, and it's not intellect. Your intellect, you got to. I don't say throw your intellect in the bin. I don't believe in that. I think it's about time Christians thought well. I believe in that, but it's not IQ. It's heart. It's not can you believe. It's will you believe. And as soon as the heart is in a place of need or humility, and comes and says, actually, God, I haven't got it all right. I've probably done some stupid things. Would you forgive me? I come to you. I'm going to put my trust back in you. I'm going to align my life with what you said and what you want. And that will put some pressure on your flesh. You're always going to have that flesh till you leave the planet. And the flesh is always going to. It's like the old nature. It's going to always fight what God wants. And you're going to have to tell that flesh to shut up. Because that flesh is what's making you miserable. That flesh is what it pulls on you to eat more than you should. yell more than you should, get attracted to women or men that you shouldn't, get angry with yourself like you shouldn't, feel like a failure like you should. It's always the flesh that's doing that. But when you put your trust in God, you say, He's the Christ, He's the one, He's the anointed. Let that anointing fill me. Let that life come inside of me. Then in the midst of all kinds of adversities and all kinds of difficulties, you've got peace inside of you. You've built your life on a rock, not on the sand. And the winds are coming and the waves are blowing, but you're not shiftable. And you're not like, no. We're like, I can praise God in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. Not because the lady said we should, but because He is the Christ and we believe in Him. We're going to sing a song as we close today, I think. We're going to finish. Oh, we're just about finished. Maybe we won't actually, Ned, will we? We're just about done. I'll pray as we close and then we'll put some music on. Would that be good? Good idea. But let's close our eyes, because I have talked to you honestly about important things. And honestly, I love the fun, and I love the chocolate, and I love the cake, and I love the all that stuff. The coffee, the music, the friendship, the gifts, the cards, the checks in the mail that people get. I love it. But there's somebody behind all of that. Let's turn our eyes to Him. Jesus, we look to You. This Christmas is all about Father loved us so much that He sent You. And now Holy Spirit is revealing all that You are. I pray that You would show us in this season the depth of Your love for us like never before. And we take a step here where some of us have allowed unbelief to sneak in. It's the biggest enemy. Hatred and unbelief, just the biggest enemies. And we've allowed it to throw us. We've allowed ourselves to become despondent. We've allowed ourselves to do things the way we want to do them. That's not the way we want to live, Jesus. That's not believing. Today we put our trust in You. We put our belief, our faith in You. We say, come to us. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to just put a little bit of choir music, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to do business with God. Just between you and God. If there's anything in your life, there will be. We'll all have them. We all have them. Areas of unbelief. Areas where there just isn't the life of God flowing. Why not? Let's turn back to Him. Let's turn back to Him again. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You. Hallelujah. Thank You. Lord, thank You for these beautiful people. Thank You for all that they have been through and endured in this year, and for the great victories. We set our eyes towards the future. We put our hand in Your hand and we say, this is going to be the right of our lives. Praise God. If you believe it, say yes, Lord. Yes. Why don't we give God some praise and honor and thanks here in this place today? We bless You, Lord God. We bless You. Come on, give Him thanks like He really is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Anointed One. We bless You today. We thank You, Lord. Amen.